From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
This is the Friday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast, post-sanctions. Chase Parm, Neil McCready this morning. We've got a lot of stuff going on around us, as you imagine. I'm hitting the record button at 10:11 a.m. We have a press comp or a media call with an NCAA officials at 11. Ole Miss has scheduled a press conference for 1 o'clock. So just if we're a little distracted here, we're trying to do our best to get you as much content as possible. Check rebelgrove.com. If you're not subscribing, oddly, it's a great time to subscribe. We've got tons of notes there. We've got lots of things, kind of a running commentary on this morning's events as the NCAA has hammered Ole Miss. 2-year bowl ban, 3 additional scholarships, which is kind of the most surprising part of this. As I expected, considering the other penalties, that number to be higher, Ole Miss only 3 scholarships there. We will dive into as much as we can over about the next 45 minutes. Again, we have the call at 11, so maybe a little abbreviated, but we'll have plenty of content in the coming days. As this all kind of digest here in real time for you. So, first off, the podcast, as always, is brought to you by the Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford. Remember that if you get ready for the holidays, Christmas is still coming. They will smoke your ham or your turkey for you. $15 is the starting price on that. So take advantage of that. We'd really, really appreciate it. Lunch specials, ribs at night, bottomless refills, and more. And also we're coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio.
We are. Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi. 662-257-1900 is the number. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell him what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes. Clark Ford's great. You get a great Ford vehicle. You get fantastic service. No haggling. It's right to the bottom line. Tell Corey that you heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. You get $500 off the bottom line from your deal at Clark Ford, 662-257-1900 or clarkfordinc.com.
So, Neil, I really don't know what to start. It's going to take some days to kind of completely get through everything because, frankly, some of our information is changing by the minute. As everybody, it's a really long document. It's fairly confusing. We are not attorneys, so we preface everything with that. We're doing the best we can here. But the particulars, as I said, are that Ole Miss gets 2 years for a bowl ban. That's one additional year in addition to 2017. Also, current seniors will be immediately eligible to transfer without penalty. If your career ends during the bowl ban, you can transfer. That has been the rule. Godfrey had talked about it. We had heard, too, though, that the NCAA, there's a possibility they get lax with that rule. If other players that are younger file waivers, they have a decent chance of them succeeding. I'm not saying they're going to, but I'm saying in the past it has been rumored that the NCAA would likely shift its focus on that.
One of the people in the media who is most versed with NCAA stuff, he is terrific, is Cecil Hurt with the Tuscaloosa News. He has covered a lot of NCAA stuff. He tweets this morning. He says, I agree with Edward, referring to Ashoff, that players will request waivers on the grounds that they were misled and may receive them, just saying they are not immediately eligible for free transfer per the bylaw. Players will – there are guys, I've heard 2 very prominent names this morning from sources that I believe, okay, that are going to request transfers based on the misled thing. And Ole Miss apologized to Houston Nutt, and part of Houston Nutt's thing was that, you know, players, part of the latest stuff is that the Deontay Anderson stuff is that he was misled. That's going to be a storyline as we move forward. It will be up to the NCAA to make those rulings, and I don't know whether those will be case by case, individual by individual, or if it will apply to everyone who visited on that particular weekend. No one knows. It's too early to say.
A couple thoughts here as we open up, and again, it's going to be scatterbrained. It's going to take more than one episode. We'll do the best we can in this one. Ole Miss is going to get the media, the public, whomever, is going to get a press release in about 15 minutes. In that release, it is going to say that Hugh Freeze admitted upon taking the job that the booster culture at Ole Miss was, quote, craziness. also sometime during the that release, it's already been given to a lot of people, was that Vitter said during the COI that the booster culture was disturbingly questionable. It kind of runs in line to where I want to start, Neil, is that a long time ago, when this thing first got going, Jeffrey Vitter wasn't here. It's not his fault. Dan Jones, a collection of people, decided exemplary cooperation, making sure that they followed all protocol was the way to go.
Yeah.
Precedent says that that was a clear mistake, and we always said that, but we always gave the caveat is, if it works out, then we'll sit here, we'll applaud them and go, wow, heck of a job.
It didn't work out.
As of this morning, it certainly did not work out. You look at recent cases, North Carolina fought like hell.
Won.
They had fake classes.
And they won.
And they won. Auburn with Cam Newton, it was nothing but middle fingers for years.
And they won.
And they won. When you NCAA does not have a ton of power. When you give them power and allow them access, they're going to be able to basically name their penalty. And, I mean, this is not a time for necessarily celebration on any counts, but Neil and I last December, we were talking about this morning. It was sometime over the Christmas holidays.
It was right after Christmas.
It was right after Christmas.
It may have been the day after Christmas, Chase, the first time we got the call.
I was talking to an incredibly solid source.
Yes.
And I was standing outside Neil's house, frankly. I was in the driveway.
You know what? This was before Christmas.
Was it before Christmas?
Because we kind of broke a little bit at Christmas, and we came back, and we started talking about it, and it was like, oh, my God.
So I was told that day that according to a person with incredible intercollegiate athletic ties, let's phrase it that way, not an Ole Miss source, not an NCAA source,
if you
just,
heard
just a college sports source.
If you heard the name, you'd say, oh.
Yeah. Incredibly well known.
Yes.
That person said, look, I don't know what's going to happen, but what is going to be asked for by the NCAA, because this was kind of a point of contention throughout this. The enforcement division does not suggest penalties necessarily.
Right.
However, look, back channels happen. Things happen along those regards.
No, Chase, no, they don't.
Go ahead.
I'm kidding.
Okay.
They do.
Also,
I'm so sick of people telling me that they don't.
Also, they formulate penalties and allegations to fit the matrix to get what they want to accomplish. So while it's not direct, it is direct by indirect purposes and by methods. The NCAA wanted 2 years, show causes for every coach involved, and 25 scholarships. Per this source, that's what the NCAA wanted. They got the 2 years. They got show causes for most coaches involved, or for Vaughn, Sanders, and Kiffin, those being 5, 8, and 2, and then Barney got 5 as well. With Freeze, it's a little weird. He has different penalties depending on his head coach status versus his assistant coach status moving forward. However, he was giving two conference game suspension as a head coach. Point being, that was 11 months ago, and as the COI has happened, as Neil and Stephen Godfrey had reports yesterday on everything that happened in Covington, it feels rubber stamped. It feels like a set scenario was in motion for a long time, and really the NCAA has kind of proven that by in their documents this morning, per multiple sources in our own eyes, said that Lindsey Miller, maybe the most surprising of the bunch, Kobe Jones and Leo Lewis, completely credible during their investigations.
It is a rubber stamp. There's no other word for it. You covered that pretty well. There's not a whole lot I could add. I feel like the guy in Major League. How long have you known me? 10 years?
About 10 years, yeah.
I have always said you fight. You deny everything. You essentially, your first response is no habla ingles, no comprende. People laugh at me when I say that, but I'm totally serious. And people in academia, people who today are frankly fighting for their jobs, people in academia always tell me I'm wrong. And this is where, frankly, being a guy who's not overly concerned with making a lot of friends, it's where it pays off. It's where keeping it real pays off. Ole Miss rolled over at the beginning on this. Ole Miss underestimated just how badly, whether it was Dan Jones, Lee Tyner, I don't know who it was, those collection of people, they underestimated how badly something went wrong between, here's what's interesting, Chase. The person who gets off the lightest today, really, is Hugh Freeze. I mean, he gets hit. Got a 2-game suspension. If he's hired as a head coach. Nothing if he gets hired as a coordinator or an assistant. He can go take a coordinator job in the SEC next year and coach right away. He can rebuild his reputation, his career quickly. Now, assuming the other stuff. Talking about football part. But Ole Miss underestimated how badly that fracture occurred in the spring of 2013. Underestimated it severely. And this thing just, it spiraled on them. The NFL draft night occurred, and I know none of that stuff's in the document. But quite frankly, there were a lot of people who said Ole Miss needed to fire Hugh Freeze that night. Ole Miss needed to fire Hugh Freeze the next day, and people said, well, they can't. And the second NOA came, and it got held up. The NCAA, the COI ruled apparently today that all those people are credible. It is for those of us who've covered this story, for those of us who were in the courtroom the day that Lindsey Miller had his little court appearance, it is difficult to imagine. But as we've said how many times, Chase? 100? This is not a criminal courtroom. Yeah. This is not a civil courtroom. These are academics. These are true believers. These are people who believe in the process. These are not cynical
people.
These
were seven dudes in a room, or seven people in a room, sorry, not all male.
These are not cynical people. And why the chancellor of the University of Mississippi would stand in that room and say that about his booster culture is beyond what I can understand. You talk about a guy in Jeffrey Vitter who is in completely over his head as it pertains to athletics. He could not be more out of his league.
I'm getting asked a lot this morning. My phone's ringing a little bit.
I know it is.
That, what does this mean? Okay. Well, the easy answer first is Ole Miss will not go to a bowl in 2017. To me, that's not a big deal. In and of itself.
2018.
Yeah, sorry, whatever. In the general purposes of they're not going to make a trip next holiday season, okay, fine.
Yeah, I mean, look, best case scenario, this is a 7-5 team. So you at worst case, you lost.
You're going to Nashville or the Belk Bowl.
Worst case, you lost a trip to Jacksonville.
Okay, so point being.
The scholarship hit's not bad.
Yeah, that's where I'm getting at. Okay. So 13 total scholarships, not bad. Not bad at all.
Well, some of them are already self-imposed.
Yeah, I'm looking at the language right here. Okay. Overall reduction in 15-16 is 1. The initial reduction is 0. So they're taking 1 away from Ole Miss from 2 years ago.
Can I boil it down and make it even simpler?
Yeah.
It's 10 over the next 2 years. 6-4. That's really all that matters. The rest of it's backdated.
Yeah, that's true.
It's 10 over the next 2 years. 6 in this upcoming class, 4 in the next class. So it's 10 players over 2 years. Is that significant? Yes. Is it crippling? No. Now, seniors can transfer without penalty. Underclassmen are going to be able to ask for those waivers, and according to Edward Ashoff just a few minutes ago in a message, Ed said that those waivers are typically granted. Guys who want to leave are going to be able to leave.
The NCAA a couple years ago kind of changed their stance on that and is very pro-player in that circumstance.
So, frankly, we're keeping it real. Guys, Shea Patterson, A.J. Brown, that class – Deontay Anderson, Greg Little, that class. Not saying those individuals, although I do think a couple of those guys are going to leave. They can leave. They're going to be able to leave without penalty.
What we've been saying here, Todd Wade a second ago, we've had him on the podcast a lot. He just tweets, this is why you don't invite people into your house that want to destroy you, i.e. 2013, Sheridan, Moncrief. There isn't evidence that leniency would be given for exemplary cooperation. Simply makes their job easier. I couldn't say it better than Mr.
Wade. Exactly right
there.
So here's the big question. People said, what happens now? I'll ask you this question. You tell me. You're more dialed in with Ole Miss people right now than I am.
Okay.
It is my opinion, from hearing from a lot of people, that Jeffrey Vitter has lost the public trust.
That's a very easy answer to make. And, yeah, that has been the predominant thought conveyed to me over the last 96 hours.
He's going to speak at 1 o'clock. I expect he'll hang himself further. That's his typical deal. He's going to get asked some tough questions today. And I don't know that he has answers for them. I mean, I'm going to ask him, what was your role at the COI? I mean, you said that there was a problem with boosters. What did you do about that booster problem leading up to that? Hell yeah, there's a problem with boosters at Ole Miss. They're crawling at the Manning Center. They're everywhere. They're at lunch, sitting around watching the players eat. They're at practice, hanging around, taking notes and talking to each other. Not taking notes, but you know what, taking mental notes. Talking to each other about the play. They shouldn't be there. Yeah, there's a booster problem at Ole Miss. Ole Miss has made it part of the booster package, if you will. The donor package that you can come into the press conference to watch the post-game press conference. Who would want to watch a post-game press conference? I mean, they have a booster problem. What did you do about it? And why did you wait until the COI hearing? But here's my question for you. What does this mean for Ross Bjork? This is not his fault. This is not his fault. But this is his department. And he's been here for most of this investigation. What does this mean for him? What does this mean for the people in his inner circle who've been his advisors? What does this mean for Ole Miss's compliance office? What does this mean for Ole Miss's legal representation? Lee Tyner, University Counsel. What does this mean for those people? How do those people go forward? Is it possible for them to regain the public trust that is lost today?
It's hard because of what we talked about. So what they're going to do, there's a couple answers to this. The first one is, what are they going to do? They're going to appeal. They're going to appeal everything. Penn State, USC, I believe, are the two that have had some success with appeals.
Yes.
We'll see.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But let me say this. By the time the appeal is won or lost,
it'll be in spring, I think.
Yeah, the damage will have been done.
Also, the appeals process is not another hearing. I'm pretty sure the appeals process is written, if I'm right.
I'm almost positive that's correct.
Yeah, I think it's written. So the appeals process is written. The problem here for most of the people that you named is that had Ole Miss been hit with these penalties after fighting, giving a much stronger public relations response over the last years, I think a lot of anger would have kind of stayed with the NCAA predominantly, and it would have been that way. And it would have been easier to kind of go, hey, we're getting railroaded, we're this, whatever, we're this, from a PR response. The focus on exemplary cooperation and the focus on some of the stories that have come out about how things were obtained, that is what's going to make this complicated, because while the NCAA is certainly going to catch the brunt from Ole Miss fans, there's also a section that is going to go, they were only allowed to do that because of the actions of some Ole Miss officials. So that is where this incredibly complicates it from an Ole Miss administrative standpoint, in my opinion.
Things are going to be hard, don't you?
Of course, yeah.
I mean, I think there's going to be some coming out swinging today. I don't know who you're swinging at. People ask, why did your story wait till yesterday to run? Well, my story ran yesterday because Godfrey's story ran yesterday. My story wasn't going to run until today. Had I been Ole Miss, I would have fought. I would have walked out of that. I know what the NCAA said, no leaks, no leaks, no leaks. Please tell me today what was the reward for no leaks. Why? I would have come out and said, Leo Lewis talked today, and here's what he said. I would have walked out of there and held a press conference. Not literally. I would have leaked it.
Yeah.
The NCAA set rules. Ole Miss followed those rules, and the NCAA said, we're hammering you anyway. The shocking thing to me is that Hugh Freeze got off as lightly as he did because they wanted him. But perhaps once he got fired, there was no justification. They couldn't hammer him any further.
His penalty would be worse if he was still employed. You can't convince me otherwise.
I'm not even going to try to. It'd be pointless.
All right, we'll continue in a second. First, tell you the podcast brought to you by Community Mortgage, located in Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. 30 years old this year. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis, so you're getting local underwriting that understands your market. Also a leader in condo financing. So ask Jason about the float down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you get that lower rate. 662-234-2704 or JLOWE, JLOWE, at communitymtg.com.
Everybody knows State Farm for being the number one insurer in auto, home, and life insurance, but State Farm does a lot more than that. They have a bank that allows them to do auto financing. State Farm recently had a rate reduction in their commercial insurance rates. So give Romero Miller State Farm a chance to compare your business insurance policies. If you own a rental property, Romero challenges you to give him a shot at that property. You won't be sorry. Check him out on Google. Go enter Romero Miller State Farm and hit the reviews and check those out. Then if you have insurance needs in Mississippi or Tennessee, give Romero a call, 662-893-1212. Podcast brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. Ben Brown and his people there have been fantastic to us. We're going to get Ben on the podcast sometime next week to talk a little bit more about what it is that they do at Journey Business Solutions. Let him put that in some layman's terms for people can understand. But know this, they have the best financing solution for your customers. The program accesses 14 national lenders, one very easy online application. Call Ben Brown, 443-935-5013 to learn more. He's waiving the setup fee for podcast listeners. That's a $500 savings, so call him today. The podcast also brought to you by Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates have three attorneys, more than 60 years of combined experience, more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their site, msbnkr.com. Or AVVO.com. Give them a call in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or in Oxford, 662-281-8800.
I'm going to mention this right here. And now look, maybe we're right. Maybe they give every waiver in the world, okay?
Okay.
Don't know who's leaving, who's not. Anyway, let's say the waivers are minimal, okay?
Okay.
Say the waivers are, well, for this argument, waivers are essentially denied, okay?
Okay.
Is that fair?
Okay.
Do you think it's possible there was some deal, some situation where Ole Miss gave up the extra year of no bowl for the fewer scholarships? Because I'll be honest, given the severity of all the punishments, my antenna is up on why there are not more scholarships.
Crossed my mind right away when I heard, because when we heard 13, we thought additional. So I thought, oh, so 24 scholarships.
Yeah, because USC got 30.
And I thought, well, 24 scholarships is a crushing blow. 13 scholarships, really it's 10. I'm going to quit calling it 13. 10 scholarships over the next 2 years. That is difficult but manageable. Is that fair? Difficult but manageable.
Yeah, you have to be efficient, but it's manageable.
It makes you wonder. Of course, everyone will deny everything.
Just a thought.
Yeah, everyone's denying everything. Here's the problem right now. Back to my public trust issue. Public trust has been lost. No one believes anything right now. This is what is ripe for conspiracy theories. This atmosphere makes conspiracies just very difficult to completely disregard. What are you reading?
The NCAA's released its thing. I was just kind of skimming it.
Skimming the release, yeah. I'm told there's some money shots in there. I haven't read it yet.
The paragraph that I referenced a second ago, verbatim, quote here, from the NCAA press release, "This is now the third case over the three decades that has involved the boosters and football program," the panel stated in its decision. Even the head coach acknowledged that upon coming to Mississippi, he was surprised by the, quote, "craziness of boosters trying to insert themselves into the program." At the hearing, Mississippi Chancellor Jeffrey Vitter acknowledged his institution's problem with boosters, characterizing one instance as, quote, "disturbingly questionable." So that is that was correct information earlier. That is in the NCAA opening to the report that was given out this morning.
Little clarification on Freeze. It's not a show cause. It's a one-year head coach restriction. He faces a two-game suspension if he's a head coach, but not if he's a coordinator or an assistant coach. Major win for Hugh Freeze.
Huge.
Huge. Just hard to put into words. How big?
Almost making you wonder how you get to the penalty. I mean, that's kind of where I'm coming back. The bowl ban is the one thing. It's the oddity of this, frankly.
Hugh Freeze's name is going to pop up in this Tennessee job search today. Book it.
You don't think those restrictions are still too much for a head coach?
Two games in a lost season anyway. Two games. Do you? If you're Tennessee and you believe he can recruit, he's on your list today. Still waiting for the number to call. Haven't seen that.
Do what now?
I'm still waiting for the number that we call at 11 o'clock. I'm a little concerned that we don't have it yet.
I'll ask in a second.
Yeah.
Well, really the news now is the waivers, right? That's where we are with this moving forward.
Yes.
That is the moment that we do whatever at this point.
And I will tell you that my anticipation is that those waivers will be granted for anyone who asks for it. Let me rephrase. Anyone from the 2016 signing class forward who asks for it is going to get it. There's a little window in there where guys probably aren't going to get it. That, especially those guys that visited the weekend of the 40 story, the weekend in question with all the Tom Marr stuff and Houston Nutt and all that, those kids are going to be allowed to transfer if they ask for waivers. I'll take those odds. Anybody wants to do Vegas odds on that, I'm in. I've got a better shot of breaking 100 than anyone does of winning that bet. If you visited that weekend, you're going to be given a waiver if you want one. Frankly, if you're in that class, in my opinion, you're going to be given a waiver if you want one. My opinion. I think there's precedent already with the Tom Marr suit. They got an apology.
What is this about?
I don't know.
In the NCAA release, again, we're doing this in real time, forgive us. A 5-year show call. Oh, never mind, it's Barney. A 5-year show calls for the assistant athletic director. He's technically an assistant athletic director.
Yeah.
Sorry, never mind. That confused me.
I have texted with Barney Farrar. His quote is, "He is sick to his stomach." You're about to get wrapped up in that cord if you're not careful. There you go.
What are the next 2 weeks like?
Fallout. Players have final exams next week. Then they're going to leave. The recruiting period's going. We'll get a lot of recruit reaction. There will be a lot of questions about – I still have a question as to why, given this – and help me here. Make sure you're listening to me. Help me here. Why, if you're Ole Miss – and you knew this was coming this week, and they did. Everyone knew this was coming this week. Why did you rush? It's a fair question today. Why did you rush? And given, here's my question. This isn't fair to Matt Luke, and it's not directed at Matt Luke.
I think I know where you're going, because I have a question, too, if you're not asking the same one.
It's not even about Matt Luke, except for this. If what you're going to say today is that we're cleaning up the booster culture here, this cannot happen again, right? Well, you just hired somebody who was on the staff for 6 years during this booster culture thing. You're hiring somebody who got the job in part, in the eyes of the public, got the job in part because of booster pressure. From a program perception standpoint, 2018 doesn't matter. From a program perception standpoint moving forward, would you not have been better off bringing in a completely new staff with no ties to any boosters where that staff could walk in and that coach, head coach, whoever, realistically Dave Doran, could have said, "I don't know, I wasn't here. I don't have time to figure it out. Here's what we're doing going forward. It's a clean cut. It's a new day, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera." Wouldn't you have been probably better off?
The part that I think that is going to be difficult and unfair to Matt, because he's not named in any of this, is that with a new coach, no matter what the question was, related to NCAA stuff, he can go, "I wasn't here. I have no idea. I don't really care to know. I don't have time to know, and I'm moving forward." It's what Matt Rhule has done at Baylor incredibly well.
And it's worked.
What Matt's problem is that he was on the staff and he was here. So while he has a level of plausible deniability, it's nowhere near what a new coach would have in the same situation from a PR and a media standpoint. That's the problem with that, in my opinion, is that he still was associated with enough to have to be able to formulate an answer other than "I have no idea and I don't care." So that's kind of where that is. But
yeah, and again, I'm not picking on Matt. I keep getting people saying, "Why are you picking on Matt?" I'm not picking on Matt. I'm happy for Matt. I think this is a challenge for Matt at the very minimum.
I have the number, by the way, so you're okay. Good.
Apparently, I was not on the mailing list. What a shock that is today. I have not received that.
Okay, I haven't. That mail. No, I got it from a text from somebody else. I had to ask for it.
We were not included.
I'm gonna make a plea here for a second.
Okay.
We got time. We got a few minutes. I get that for most Ole Miss fan or every Ole Miss fan today, it's pretty devastating news. We'll find out just how devastating in the coming days because of the waiver and whatever. We made this post on the message board. There's many of you guys that listen every day that subscribe, and there's many of you guys that don't, and you just listen. No matter what happens, we'll continue to bring you this podcast. We try to be funny. We try to bring some levity to situations while also bringing entertainment, information, and news. But if you are a subscriber, hang with us. Don't make a knee-jerk reaction that punishes us today. Give it a weekend. Kind of relax. Let's see where we are on Monday. We've tried to foster a community of participation, of again, just kind of entertainment and interaction. So hang with us. Let's see where we move in the coming days. But we promise to keep doing what we're doing. We'll ask relevant questions. And as you've learned by now, we'll bring you relevant opinions regardless of how they are they were reacted to elsewhere.
Yeah, and I won't name names or throw daggers. So I'll just leave it at this. If you followed this site, especially over the last year, you knew that there was a real chance this was going to be very significant. This was going to be serious. Here's the good news for Ole Miss. It's over. It's done. You move forward. You have no choice.
Today, right now, over.
You move forward. Now, is the damage over? No, damage is not over. There will be more. There will be transfers. That's a fact. I've heard people say, well, one of the reasons Matt got the job was to minimize the transfers. Well, that's a really bad reason for someone to get the job. If you're Ole Miss, the other good news for Ole Miss is that Matt Luke kind of gets another year to refine his coaching experience, his in-game coaching. Because it's going to be a real challenge. There won't be room from a competitive standpoint in 2019 and 2020 for sloppy in-game coaching. They won't be good enough for that. They won't be talented and deep enough to have that margin for error. And if you're Matt Luke, as much as you're going to focus on next season, you and your staff, you better hit the road recruiting hard, man. That 2019 class, that 2020 class, you don't have room for mistakes. You've got to rebuild. Those have to be good classes or you're not going to make it as a staff. So that's where your focus is. And I get for fans this is devastating. I do. I completely understand it. But the good news is that now you do know what you are dealt with. That no longer hangs over you. You deal with it. December will be ripe with rumors about transfers. We'll do the best we can to get to the bottom of them. There will be transfers. I'm sure other people will tell you today that they are tight, they're good. They might be tight and good today. They're going to bolt in a week. Everybody's going to go home and stuff is going to happen. Kids are being recruited. Kids have been recruited. There will be guys who transfer. And a lot of these guys that everyone's talking about, these juniors that are worried about, a lot of those guys are planning to go pro next year anyway. So I don't know whether they transfer and go pro or whether they just decide, hey, I'm going to stick it out. I'm going to play a season and go pro. A lot of kids don't like bowl games anyway, especially elite players. They're worried about hurting their draft stock by getting hurt in January. So we can get to a lot of that stuff, but I'll echo what Chase said. We've covered this really hard for 5 years. We're not going to stop. We're not going to stop asking tough questions. We're not worried about making friends over there. We're respectful, and we have respectful disagreements. But our obligation is to you, the subscriber, you, the listener. We never lose sight of that. We're not going to lose sight of that. And I understand emotion. Take a weekend off. The podcast will still be fun. The site will still be funny. The community's not going away. One of my very best friends in life was made on a message board, a Cubs message board, believe it or not. So I get it. But hang tight, relax, take a weekend off. Get one of Chase's little pills, divide it into quarters or whatever. Chase the
Sildenafil. 662-252-2321, TysonDrugs.com.
Get that. Maybe chase her around for a weekend. And then come back. We'll talk on Monday. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, quickly as we do that, let me get through a couple different things telling you that you might be ready to step away from Ole Miss for a couple days, step away from different things. If you do that, if you don't want to take care of your yard yourself, I got somebody to help you out with that. MasterCuts Lawn and Landscapes, Oxford, Tupelo, surrounding area. Time to build that outdoor living area. Time to get the leaves cleaned up if you haven't. Clear fence lines and more. MasterCuts lets you do that with a free quote because if you call 662-607-7773 or MasterCutsLawn.com, they will hook you up. I use them. You should too. They take care of you year-round.
Podcast also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air has been serving Oxford and the surrounding area for the past 26 years. I've used them for AC repair. They're fantastic. You can check them out, comerheatingandair.com. Mention the podcast. You get $20 off. Contact Eric at 662-934-3846 or Shane, 662-832-8749. Also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Great lease deals. The 2017s need to move. The 2018s are awesome. Great service there as well. GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Believe it or not, it's a great time to make a condo purchase. Prices might drop a little. Now's the time to get in. Those prices are going to go right back up down the road. You could end up getting a real steal on a property, a unit. It's HA at HarryAlexander.com. His website, as you might expect, HarryAlexander.com. He's with RE/MAX Legacy Realty. And then the podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. They give you the comfort of home and all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with a live person. No 10 buttons to push. No 5-minute wait. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
There's a report that said all players could transfer, but I'm pretty sure that's not right. I did not see that anyway, and NCAA spokeswoman Stacey Osborne confirmed to ESPN a little while ago that the seniors would be allowed to transfer, as we said, without penalty because of the ban. So,
look, yeah, the seniors are going to be able to transfer. The other players are going to be able to request a waiver.
Yeah.
Somebody's
got a mistake there.
Yeah, there's a lot of mistakes today.
There's a lot of trying to read an 89-page document in 5 minutes is what is happening.
Yes, that's the deal.
So, we're going to get a media call now here in a few minutes by the time you listen to this. We're going to get Ole Miss at 1 o'clock with that press conference, Bjork and Vitter speaking at 1, and then we'll have plenty of reaction. Rebelgrove.com, the place to get that. We'll continue to talk about it. It's an interesting deal because USC fans actually right now frustrated by the lack of penalty at Ole Miss compared to where they got a few years ago. So that's what's depending on what your perspective is, actually, and depending on what moves forward, the level of the penalty is still a little bit to be determined. So we'll have coverage.
Unless you're hung up on the bowl ban.
Yeah, right.
It's not that bad.
13 is so much different than 25 would have been.
Again, 10 over 2.
Yeah,
three are already done.
Yeah. Light years.
Frankly expected a lot bigger penalty from
Matt
from
Luke. Already knew this. He already told us the other day they could only sign like 17 this year anyway.
Right.
So
unless you're hung up on losing a bowl game next year, and if you are, I understand. I get it. Bowl games are fun. This year's team would have gone to a bowl game at 6-6. Next year's team, if everybody had stayed together, had a chance to win 7 games. I don't want to get into minutia. Maybe they win 8. Maybe they win 4. I don't know. They had a chance to win 7. A 7-win bowl game, 7-win team in the SEC goes bowling.
Yes.
So if that's what you're upset about today, I get it. I don't blame you. If you're upset that you feel like your university laid down and rolled over and got stabbed with its own knife, I get that. If you're thinking about the future of the program, today could have been a hell of a lot worse. A hell of a lot worse.
So hang with us. We'll be back soon. Check rebelgrove.com in the meantime, and we will talk to you again sometime soon. I'm not 100%, maybe Monday, depending on how the fireworks of the rest of the day finish up. So thank you, and goodbye.